this Saturday. Remember, fireworks may be great fun for you, but they can terrify your pets. Make sure your fireworks are loud enough to drown the petrified howling of your animals, or your children might get upset. Scandal news, the government won't survive this. Ken Clark once worked on a cake stall, and John Gummer works occasional shifts as a hairdresser. That's it, good night. I knew that would catch me out. Paul Garner's just been on the phone. Now, he's going to go to an airport tonight, and we've worked out a routine whereby he will get the tannoy to announce various childish names, and it's got a drama story to it. You won't believe what he's going to try, but he's actually going to try and get the airport tannoy system to announce the following. The first couplet of names is...
I had this vacant job, and I will be fired.
Followed up by...
I have been fired, and... Babayev Ribaldi.
Now that's worth a fiver if he gets that. Before 10 o'clock. Okay, tonight's star guest is Frankie Valli. He's being interviewed by Wayne Carr. Like this.
You know, just to be able to have an audience is really a wonderful privilege.
That very few people have. It's right. Like some people can wear a particular type of silly haircut and get away with it, but only very few.
Right.
That's after 9:30. David Copperfield was going to be on tonight, but then he started screwing it all up in Europe. You know that he's the guy who advertises himself on his posters and says, I will fly without the use of wires. And then at some gig in Europe, they got the lighting wrong, and everybody could see massive great big wires coming from his hips. I mean, where does he go now? Apparently reports are from his Earl's Court shows in London. He's sticking to the safe stuff. He's standing up there wobbling a barrow about cleverly saying, look, it's made of rubber. And then he turns sideways onto the audience and forces a pencil as if down his nose, but actually down the side of his cheek. Although apparently the front row could see that. And his biggest trick of the evening was to give everybody a bog roll and say, hold it up next to your hand. And if you look with both eyes, it looks like you got a hole in your hand. It's a shame, actually, he's not coming in, because you know he does his charity stuff for mental patients. He goes to mental hospitals, and he says, well, I'm going to teach them to have a sense of themselves. Rubbish, it's just they're the only people who believe the tricks there. Also in the news tonight, furore as TV chef Glyn Christian releases a video of animal recipes, which includes footage of him shooting an elephant in a zoo.
Hey, there's an elephant over here. What are you going to go for now? Okay, not this.
And what life was like off-screen for the children who appeared in Noel Edmonds' multicoloured swap shop.
We used to have parties sometimes. The children would do strip teasers with the elder women and dance to soft music for the men.
Hi, this is Whitfield. I think Naomi Campbell has a gravel alley disorder.
Very stupid mood I'm in this evening.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks.
Peter Bainham, new feature tonight. Meanwhile, here's today's feedback report number one.
We're looking today at spherical cattle, making them round. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
How would a spherical cow get around its pen?
Well, I should think you'd have to put some sort of netting round it to guide it.
So what, so I could just get a grip on the net?
That's right. You couldn't leave it in the field or anything like that.
Well, imagine if it was in a pen and the water was at the other end of the pen and it was thirsty.
How would it manage?
Well, can they smell it?
Well, I suppose they'd have a nose on the circumference.
Well, is it? They've got to have some sort of a smell of it.
Let's assume they have.
They'd roll to it.
They'd roll towards it?
Yeah.
How would they actually manage to make themselves roll?
Muscles. Their own muscle strength inside them.
Would it be better off with a leg?
Well, I should think so. It could walk along just like a chicken, two legs.
Unless the legs were opposite sides, and then it would have to go around like a sort of a broken line.
It can go as a ball. If you had a ball and you put two legs to it, one either side of the ball.
Right, but if they were sticking out of the side, they'd be like sort of long, thin ears or something, and it would just bounce off the wall.
Yeah, well, then you're getting like something from outer space.
If you gave it two legs, would you have them side by side, or would you have them on opposite ends of the ball?
Side by side.
How far apart?
2 or 3 foot.
And what about if it was a milk cow?
A milk cow? Perhaps they might do a square one.
And if you saw a spherical cow and you had a gun about you, would you shoot it?
Yeah.
Record number 3.
Richard Evans? Sorry, I can't help you, mate.
Qu'est-ce que tout j'aime? Le mambo, oui mambo. Pourquoi rester si froid? Je voudrais que tu sois tout aussi chaud que moi. Quand je suis contre toi, tout aussi chaud que moi. Tout aussi chaud que moi. Quand j'entre dans la danse, dans ma tête je pense. Je pense aux cadences. À ton mambo, baby. Je ne suis rien promis, mis à part mes atouts. Ah ah, sacré tout éclair, reste sans étincelle. Et je te dis, mambo, aujourd'hui peut-être, c'est sans lendemain. Aujourd'hui peut-être, la folie me menace. Et son rythme tenace. Je contrôle la cadence.
La 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 la
radio centre. Ni blanche crépasse vers son lendemain. Tôt, voici le matin. Si le mambo vient, si tu fais le mien. Si le mambo vient, oh, hey. Life, je reste en suspense. Life, je crois la danse. Childish Tannoy abuser has gained entry to Heathrow Terminal 3. Results in 40 minutes. Yeah, just preparing the new Peter Baden pigeon.
We used to have parties sometimes. The children would do strip teasers.
This guy called Les Negressis Bertis, that's him. Nice sound from him there too. Okay, there's a brand new feature tonight, Peter's People with Peter Bainham. This is how we, the broadcasters, stay in touch with you, the people. What happens is we find one of you, we place a radio transmitter in your hair, we can follow you wherever you go in the United Kingdom. Peter, who have you found today?
Hi, Chris. I found a man in Derby this afternoon, now he's in Ockbrook.
Have you managed to find anything useful about him?
No.
Great. Okay, same time next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
Alcohol on my hands, I got plans to ditch my chest and get outside. Here's some women throwing plates, decapitating their laughing gates, swirling chickens, caught in flight, out of focus, much too bright, coming down, shining teeth, game show suckers trying to breathe, but I got a drug and I got the bug and I got something better than love. How you like me now?
Pretty good.
Going on, feeling strong. I quit my job, blowing leaves. Telephone bills up my sleeves. Choking like a one-man dust bowl. Freedom rock slime ball, talking in cold. We went down, lit up the shack. Grabbed me a beer out of the sack. Everybody been over twice. Hitting the walls, throwing some dice. Leaping up into the air, getting juiced up beyond belief. And they were thinking like this. Why don't go with flip it at the top? Put myself between the bone. Now I'm hungry, now I'm drunk. Now I'm running like a flaming pig.
Oh, yeah.
Stepping off the attitude. Old man eating all my food. Don't be kind, don't be rude. Just shake your boots and let it all get loose.
Fa la la la.
Oh, yeah.
Fa la la la.
beer can. You saw Bates, didn't
yes.
you? Yeah. Just standing outside the pub, okay, this was when we came in tonight, 8.30, pitch dark, freezing cold, Bates and three girls standing outside the pub.
What was it like with his hands, like, forced, trying to look cool with
oh,
his
the
hands
cool.
forced down yeah. the front pockets of his trousers.
Yeah, stretching the fabric across the cheeks.
A big fat ass, like, underneath
very,
the
very
fabric.
Unusually broad and bow-legged. And I reckon he goes around the pubs here at night, because he lives around here, and he goes and looks up old BBC cronies. He kicks open the door and shouts as he gets into the pub, "Who's on my side?" And they all just kind of, like, bury their faces in the beer.
Well, why were those two girls with him? I mean, he's standing there with these two sort of obviously underage girls. Well, what's the point of that?
It's the technique, because he's low on support, so he goes around the streets, and anybody who looks like they couldn't be able to buy a drink because they maybe look at that awkward cusp age, he says, "I'll get you a drink if you're on my side."
I mean, what did you see him the other day, like, walking past a couple of executives? Obviously, BBC executives.
Oh, he does this.
They're talking. He sort of cuts them up on the inside and goes like, "Rubbish, rubbish," as he walks past
But without them. Looking at them.
Yeah,
looking
yeah.
straight ahead. Oh, he does that. And every he sees two male executives walking past him, he goes, "Who's your boyfriend?" And he's
a poor guy. I mean, well, he hasn't got an outlet. I mean, that's what he has.
He
got
needs one.
Mouthpiece.
I mean, he needs a decent.
I mean, that's why, right, I reckon in about a year's time, you're going to see that guy walking up Oxford Street with some sort of, like, strap-on gramophone.
And the hour tune
playing
theme.
The hour tune music.
But it'll be wowing because he's walking.
And he'll have like a sort of pocket. He'll reach out of his pocket and have like some crumpled old hour tune letters.
Yeah, and he'll have a big speaker horn over his head and he's saying, "This one is a letter from Stephanie. I've changed her name to protect her identity." And people put like 5p in his cap.
And it's gonna be like,
but it's not all tragic, you know, because there's that thing on Carlton. Which he must be getting a few pennies for.
Oh, God,
for.
What's it called, that thing about 4 o'clock in the morning on a Monday morning?
Was it 4 o'clock on a Monday morning, live
Bates, yes.
And you've got 20 blokes in the studio as an audience.
Yeah, all blokes, isn't
and
it?
And him there on a set.
Yeah, and these rubbish items, like, what is it, Selena Scott doing that spoof news.
That's right, yeah, and the tragic Dudley Moore's Hollywood gossip. And he beams in on a satellite there, and he looks like Ron Wood with a greasy, short haircut. And he's kind of, his face is all crumpled up.
He's usually pissed as well.
Yeah, that's right, but then Simon Bates keeps saying, "You're pissed, aren't you, Dudley?" And he keeps going, "I haven't got very much gossip for you this week."
Well, because he just doesn't know anybody anymore.
Well, he's excluded from all the functions. Mm. And Bates won't let up, and Dudley Moore just sits there kind of going...
What's to do with Bates, though? I mean, what's the business with the smoking? I mean, does Bates smoke?
No, he never smokes.
But he's sitting there.
Yeah, he smokes on telly to look tough.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough, controversial show. Do you see what he did on Monday night? The, that Welsh guy.
Oh, my God, the cannibal.
The cannibal, yeah, who, that this kind of, he was a small boy, about 5'2", a very innocent-looking guy, wide-eyed, and Bates had him on, and this bloke had apparently, at some stage, quite legally ate some human flesh.
Yeah.
And Bates wouldn't let up. This is how, I brought the tape in tonight.
What? This, yeah. Have you got it?
Yeah, this is how he introduced him. Listen.
All right. Okay. Yep, have a seat. Now, this man has eaten human flesh. Mark, tell us about it.
Well, you know, I...
Tell us how you ate your niece. She was killed in a road accident.
Yes.
Last winter.
Yeah.
You ended up eating her. You ate the flesh of your own flesh and blood.
Yeah, it's easy to say that.
I mean, this is outrageous.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Just tell us, was it delicious?
You can't just say delicious.
How delicious was it?
Look, she died, right, naturally.
Was it soft meat, her soft meat in your mouth? I mean, is that why you did it?
No, I did it because it's nutritious, right?
I mean, you've got to admit, this is outrageous.
Well, you might think...
No, listen, it's not me that thinks that. Don't get me wrong here. You see a lot of people in the audience here who are wincing. I mean, I can take anything. I've been all over the world. I've eaten all kinds of rubbish.
Yeah, well...
I've eaten all kinds of shit.
It's not that awful, right, what I...
Don't justify it to me. Justify it to the people at home. Let me ask you the question on their behalf. Why did you eat human flesh?
Because I wanted to. And because...
That's Mark Capps. Mr. Outrageous tonight. We'll be back after these words.
And he didn't let up. He didn't let up at all. And then suddenly the tone changed after the ad break. Because the bloke brought out a sort of sachet of... Do you remember? It was, what did he call it? Cured bicep.
Mm.
Of this girl that he'd eaten, and he offered it to Bates, and there was no getting away from it, and that, like, everybody started pressuring him to eat it, and he couldn't get out of it.
What did you say?
I got some. There you go, see.
That's not necessary. No, we don't need that. Real flesh.
Yeah, but you're asking me about
this. We didn't ask you for that. That's okay. I don't need to eat any of that.
Eat it!
No, I don't really need it.
Eat it!
He wasn't asked to bring it on. Did we ask you to bring it on?
No, wait a minute. You're on about for a minute. Why don't you try to listen to them? Go on.
Eat it!
I'll eat some after the show. I'll eat some after the show.
No, I mean, no.
I'll eat some after the show.
Go on.
Okay. Yeah, I'll eat some after the show.
No, now I think no.
Go on. Go on. All right. Give me some. Here.
On,
give it here.
Eat it, mate.
You put it on the plate. Tragic that. It was just like, what an end. Well, it's not the end of the career, but they closed the program early and he just went off green. You were quite a fan of his, weren't you?
I used to quite like him, yeah.
How much did he pay you to write our tune?
About £300 a letter.
Record number 5.
It's actually a true story about two Chinese blokes who were trapped down a mine a couple of years ago. They were both buried. And the cutting guys got through, and finally got through, and they found that one guy had started eating his mate. He killed and started eating his mate. Now, how long it took them to get through? You know how long they were trapped down there? Less than 24 hours. A holiday, I'm going to miss fireworks night. But please remember, fireworks are dangerous. It is not a good idea to crucify a rum-soaked otter on a wooden swastika, nail it to a tree, gaffer tape a magnesium and black powder-filled Avocet to the end of each arm, and apply a lighted match to the Semtex-rubbed weasel that dangles from the bum gut of each. Unless all spectators are more than 25 yards away.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution.
Yeah, well, it's more gangster stuff. There's a guy called Scarface.
Promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it
features Ice Cube coming in at the end.
Destroying our community.
And there's a swear word, I reckon, in about 4 seconds' time.
We got this whole motherfucker on a mission. Now the whole entire world has got to try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society. And now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip, Spice, Warden, and Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas for they, and we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust the only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than PT. Just bring your ass to where they got me. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You best to free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with these boys of pop. I feel my hot rocks. Bang, bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boy. Got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit.
Yeah, the fat man.
I let Abdul Muhammad do it. Got a brother, I'm McNick. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house, nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick.
Something yeah, the fat man's here, Ice Cube. He'd be such a great uncle, wouldn't he? Great Uncle Cube's going on today.
I caught a case.
So great, he crawls around with the kids. So cuddly.
But I bust.
No, he is. Yeah, he's lovely. He crawls around with the kids. He puts on a big nappy. He puts a dummy in his mouth.
In 86, now you're dissing.
He's like a big baby.
Publicity, isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot, and I can't stop, won't stop. Oh, Hillary, Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping on sellout ass.
Yo. Yeah, once again, it's the sound of Ice Cube. Swearing like a crazy mother on the tube. Huh. His nigga life makes him shout and stamp. Cause it costs so much to send his kids to summer camp. Or maybe not. Just like his new brother Ice-T. He only spent it on the new Jack, new Jack, new Jack, new Jack Uzi.
Yes.
Okay, rock fans, don't forget in this half, Wayne Carr's interrogation of Frankie Valli.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. Thank you.
lining it up now. Our rock interviewer, Wayne Carr, his encounter with Frankie Valli. Now, when you chose the name Valli, you didn't choose Volley or Villy. You didn't even spell Valli particularly well. Now, was this a bid for the street or what? How did that come about?
Actually, I had a manager who decided that I probably would have let him call me anything he felt like calling.
So if he'd said Villy, the gut lining, right, then you would have gone for that.
Anything.
In a recent poll, I don't know if you know this, but everybody polled in the UK knew who you were. How do you feel about that? Must be a little bit like being William the Conqueror.
It's really nice to know that people really love what you do and you've made some sort of an impact on millions and millions of people's lives.
Well, I guess when you walk out on stage, you must be putting a little bundle of thanks in the direction of every face in the auditorium.
Absolutely.
Have you ever considered thanking everyone individually in the auditorium?
You know, I think when you do say thank you,
yeah.
And if it comes from the right place, it's really felt.
It's like the audience is a carpet.
Absolutely.
And it's really felt.
Absolutely.
Now, when you sing these songs, one of the things that staggers me, I was just going through the old collection there, is that many of the songs have a staggering 90s feel to them. Big Girls Don't Cry.
Well, you know, everything has already been said.
We have a professor who said that everything had been said by 1526.
Right, and everything has been done.
Why do you think it's so true? Why is it that big girls do not particularly cry?
Well, we all know that everybody cries that has any kind of emotional...
Right.
We all cry, some of us out loud and some of us inside.
Like,
in fact, if you listen to the song and you go to the very last verse...
Yep.
It changes from big girls don't cry to big girls do cry.
So, in a way, it's like predates the whole Christie Brinkley thing by a long way.
Absolutely.
Pop and politics, there is a crossover there. I don't know if you know stuff about the train strike that was going on in this country.
A little bit.
Okay, the big union guy, we had him in for an interview a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned, quite out of the blue, a Four Seasons link-up with the strike. Can I just play you the tape?
Sure.
The... main inspiration of my fight for the strike has been the music of the Four Seasons.
Came from an interview there that we did with them a couple of weeks ago. What do you think of that?
Well, we are a, you know, we are a people's kind of group. We always have been.
Right. You're not just going for a new audience here, are you?
No, I'm not.
Now, what do you think of modern pop? I know you have strong opinions.
You know, I just happened to be walking around, and I drifted into one particular men's shop, which I refuse to tell you the name of.
Sounds like an anecdote, yep.
Well, I heard music and some rap.
Right.
That was absolutely embarrassing. I mean, if that's what it takes...
You sure wasn't the name of a suit, which sometimes sounds...
No, it had nothing to do with it. I mean, the name of the store should have been called Trash or something.
Instead of CNA.
Right.
What about the other thing that's happening with white people in this country? People like Bobby Gillespie, who's peddling this new craze for catapulting himself naked into a pile of babies on stage.
Well, we do know that we have our society has some sort of an erosion going on that's really not terrific. You know, it's certainly not the kind of music that the Queen would go to see a concert of.
Do you think Bobby Gillespie is one of the elements of the erosion?
I think you ought to grow up.
So listen, when you walk on stage, we're talking about your tour after all, how do you deal with your dreadful cheesiness when you walk on stage? I see you're being philosophical about this. I know sometimes you do sing flat, very much reminded me of a natural horn. Is there any intention there?
Are you an expert on tonality? There isn't a human being on the face of this earth that would sing absolutely, positively in tune for more than a second or two.
Very Lionel Blair. But what I'm saying is, in my recording of Mozart's horn concerto, they're playing it on a natural horn, which is a flat instrument. And I wondered if what you were doing was some kind of nod in that direction.
Well, I didn't know you were a French horn.
Can I have a backstage pass?
You know, I've had some 32 years of success.
I don't have a problem with that. If you want to be that successful, I don't mind.
I think you're a bit obnoxious.
Thanks, Wayne. Shortly after that, the publicist got on the phone. That's nice. Has phoned back and bit Ollie's head off its stump. Twice, I think. So I kind of went into troubleshooter mode and, put on some stupid name like Ron Shelf and started talking like with an accent somewhere between Ken Bruce and California, but rather slippery, as you'll probably hear. And let me start the music. Okay, the cheese music. And I phoned back. She wasn't happy. This kind of thing.
I had Frankie Valli's tour manager on the phone to us this morning, screaming.
Screaming?
Screaming, as tour managers can do.
Right.
Saying, who was that interviewer? He was incredibly rude.
Was he making any sense?
Not after a while, no.
No.
I think that the main point that came across...
Right.
And it went downhill after that was... the question, you always sing flat at your gigs, Frankie.
Yeah, okay, so she's not happy though. So I said Wayne wasn't happy either. And I said that he'd left the building in tears, that he normally stayed on to work well into the afternoon, but he'd gone out at lunchtime, tears streaming down his face. Frankie Valli was his hero. How dare Frankie Valli talk to him like that? And 2 minutes later, what did she say? What excuse did she offer for Frankie Valli? This.
There's one thing you have to always realise, and we realise this all the time.
Dig.
They're American.
He's American. Yeah. That this is someone who's representing her client here. Yeah, he's American. What do you expect? And then, shortly after that, I said that, you know, we were doing a program where we had lots of presenters, lots of great presenters, Wayne and just amongst many others, and that was part of the deal of the program. And by this stage, she'd done a total vault fast and started saying stuff like this.
You know what? You're very wise.
Thank you.
Because when we do jobs, we use different people to do different things, because that way it keeps it fresh and alive.
Sure.
And I find that the joy of what we do, because sometimes it's an absolute fucking nightmare, like this morning.
Yeah, bonding,
like,
that.
You understand?
Well,
that,
she swore at me, that's bonding.
Every now and then.
So, for example, if you wanted, you know, Hank Marvin.
She's offering guests now.
Him too.
You're doing him?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Okay.
And if you're interested, Hank is touring with his son, Ben, and Brian Bennett and his son.
Right, big deal.
Do the Butchers and the Lawyers come to the stage now?
Yeah.
It's now serious. It's second generation.
Yeah, yeah. Is his great-uncle Lee.
Yeah.
You know, that's PR for him. So it was about a five-minute conversation, beginning with she was furious, and had just ripped off Ollie's head. The end of it, she was offering her next guest. These people. You can tell, you know, when they start swearing at you, I've had a terrible day. She offered me a holiday. She offered me a hot... No, she didn't.
Say when you call me that night to tell me that things they weren't going all right. Where's your boyfriend? Was it me? Or did you just want somebody to talk to? Then is it you or the fact that I can't be needed? Keeps you in the front of my mouth. Your voice goes away. And the breath is the last thing that you say. But the world you lips on my fingertips, it won't go away when I drop my head on my hands and play. A memory of the night in L.A. Again and again and again. Because I can't think straight and I can't sleep late. A few times we shared, I try to recreate. Said I know this is wrong, I better stop this talk. Because rats can grow up through a crack. That makes life bloom. Shit that makes life bloom. Never know when you might step in. Love the shit that makes life bloom. You never know when you might. The way it was when I walked upon the ground. Irrepressible and impermissible. All the new things that I made my life miserable. Your spirits don't leave if you don't talk about them. Memories come back when you don't think about them. I wish I had a vision of some magic potion. To let all this emotion go with you on this emotion. But I never felt this way. Some things can't be rehearsed. Now I'm grinding up my gearbox trying to find reverse. Because what's the shit that makes life gone? You might step in. Love is the shit that makes life bloom, and you never know when you might. Love is the shit that makes life bloom, and you never know when you might step in. Love is the shit that makes life bloom, and you never know when you might. But I want to keep on walking.
I got a mate at Earl's Court tonight with a mobile phone. He's just run out because he can't get a signal from the auditorium. He's watching David Copperfield. And he says he's just done this really pathetic thing where he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a cupcake. I'm going to go to the center of the earth and produce a cupcake from the center of the earth. And he disappeared through this kind of TARDIS-like thing in the middle of the stage, right? And they could see him leg it out the back and run round to a shop and just get a cupcake from the shop and then come running back. 3 minutes later, emerges from the TARDIS again and just brandishes this cupcake. Huge applause from the gullible first two rows. Everybody else stunned silent. Ladies and gentlemen, a cupcake for the center of the earth, thank you.
That makes life bloom. Love the shit that makes life bloom. Never know when you might step in. Love the shit that makes life bloom. Never know when you might.
Very actually even worse last night because of the disaster with the flying thing, you know, where in Europe everybody had seen the straps attached to his hips. So last night he took it really seriously and he thought, I've got to iron out this trouble. And he used a jetpack for the first time, a hidden jetpack, and he never tested it before. And he stood on the stage, assumed the flying position, and then launched himself straight through the wall at World's Court. And they closed the show early, that was it. Spearhead, a great album of grooves, in fact, that's Home. And Paul Garner's just burst in, gripping a tape of success.
Yep, yeah? Absolutely.
Okay, so line this up next door and we'll do that in about 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so that's the Childish Tannoy announcements, which will be... This is the dramatic pairing that I mentioned earlier. If you didn't hear it, stick around. And you guarantee it's a success.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, I believe you. I've just heard that the final thing that David Copperfield did, this was actually something he did a couple of weeks ago, but yet another pathetic David Copperfield routine. He said that, ladies and gentlemen, I will walk across the Atlantic Ocean. And he had these curtains on a beach in Florida, and he disappeared through the curtains. There was a huge crowd on the beach. It was a kind of erected scaffold and everything. Disappeared through the curtains. The whole crowd clearly saw a helicopter come down, pick him up. 3 days later, nonetheless, he emerged onto a beach in France through the same set of curtains before a scaffolding audience, and they all burst into applause. Yeah, yeah. And he said, yeah, I crossed the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, really. The other thing he does is he has a tube going through the audience, which is supposed to camouflage him when he makes a dash from the front to the back of the auditorium. 2 nights ago, he ran smack into the edge of the tube and knocked himself out on the rim.
Was that you dreaming? Out of control. Don't get uneasy, don't understood it all.
No, it's not ELO. It's World Park. Yeah.
Always love you, so proud of you, sing your song tonight, when they call you, when they ask you who you've been, will you have a voice, will you tell them with a friend, I was lost.
Carl Wallinger, World Party. He used to work in a restaurant up until about 3 weeks ago. He used to work in a restaurant around the corner from here. Very genial guy, Carl. Very quiet, very shy. You could embarrass him by asking for a capuch instead of a cappuccino. And then he disappeared, and I said to the proprietor, what would you do with him? He said, I sacked him. He was had his hands in the till. Paul Garner, flushed with success, arrives and says, success is on these two tapes here. So you got the people at Heathrow to read out.
Yeah, 100% success tonight, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, so I said I'd give you a fiver earlier, so, well,
yeah,
I might. I hate this fucking job.
Yeah.
And I will be fired.
That is correct, yeah.
It came out on the town. Okay, yeah. I haven't heard this. A And her colleagues were just kind of all sitting there this night thinking, who did that? And then she took a second one as well.
Oh, she went for the second one, no problem.
I have been fired.
I just been fired.
And,
Babayev Vibodi.
And then you just left.
Yeah, she'd lost it, mate.
She'd gone.
A cry for help.
She's going to be sacked anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
Soon it's all over for her. You bastard. And the spellings of these things. I'll tell you at this time.
The low rider is a little higher.
I haven't got time for all the spellings, but just the spelling. What was the last name?
Babayev. Yes, first name Babayev. B-A-B-A-Y-E-V.
Babayev.
And Ridoi. It's R-H-I-B-O-E-D-I-E.
Oh, I thought it was R-J-I.
No, R-H.
Ridoi.
Ridoi.
That's right.
That just about stuffs the live chicken for tonight. Thanks to Peter Bennett, thanks to Paul Garner, thanks to Rebecca, and see you next week. I have had a germ, head like rock wool. Yeah, I've had a germ all this evening. You know, one of those bugs, I've got a temperature or something. It's horrible. And I don't like to let on air, but I have.
What, HIV, is it? What?
Sounds what?
Like HIV.
You've not got HIV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably caught it off Simon Mayer. Newsflash on 1FM. It's 10 o'clock. Two of Britain's major cities have been hit today by recognition storms. And so far, the chaos is showing no sign of letting up. Recognition storms are produced when two people stop to chat in the street and instead of parting company are joined by a third and then a fourth acquaintance. Numbers build as new individuals recognize perhaps one member of the group. Each addition increases the chance of new recognitions and in freak conditions the chain reaction escalates rapidly into a full-blown recognition storm. In Sheffield this afternoon a small block formed as several workmen met each other on a stroll. Within 12 minutes over 1,700 people had become locked in a speech jam, and by 8 o'clock this evening, numbers had swelled to 30,000. In Liverpool, 65,000 individuals are trapped in a huge web of greetings, nods, and polite inquiry, producing a total urban thrombosis. Both blocks are still growing as the weight of numbers prevents many leaving, and the rest remain trapped in conversations they have no idea how to finish. There's particular concern tonight for those at the center of the storm, many of whom ran out of things to say hours ago and have been reduced to embarrassed tutting and shrugging and other signs of mental frailty. The only other recognition storm on record was in Peterborough in 1860 and took 18 years to disperse.